Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered, impermeable, I'm the people's champ, Obama, and you don't understand, Melania. Permeable, unbothered, sick, allergic to the con artist, fake woke, an imposter, only real ones up in my roster, like Junior C, that's my roster, you know, I just been
happy Tuesday.
Hello. Hello, family. How's it going?
It's going good so far. I can't believe it's another Tuesday. I feel like the days just go by so quickly.
Definitely do.
It's so crazy. Wait, is Sasha here? Hold on. Let me just double check to see if she's logged in yet. She's asking if I don't know which number it is. Technical difficulties, as you know, Sasha's the nucleus of this, and she knows how to do the studio, and today it's my turn, so I am just trying to find my footing. Sasha, you got to let me know which number. Oh, okay. Are you there yet?
I'm
Can
here.
You hear me?
Oh, okay, good. Okay. Okay, you're in.
You can, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
All
can
right.
You hear me now?
Yes. Happy Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Happy Tuesday. Yay.
So today's topic, I know we had it set for supporting our Black women, but I just wanted to start it off by acknowledging the newest victim of brutality, police brutality, quote unquote, alleged police brutality. Is, you know, there's been a number of them that have come back to back, and I think the most notable in recent times was our brother George Floyd, but I think this one, I forgot his name. Hold on, let me just look it up. But this one in particular, I think...
It's Jacob Black.
Jacob Black, yes. I think this one in particular for
Jacob
me...
Jacob Black or Jacob Blake?
Is it Jacob Blake?
Is it Black or Blake?
Oh, maybe
I think
I'm
it's Blake.
Black. No, it might be Blake. I think it's Blake. Yeah, it's Blake.
Yeah, Blake.
It's Blake.
Jacob Blake. So, you know, this one for me in particular is very, you know, hard to digest. Luckily, he's still alive, and he's in, you know, receiving surgery. But he may be
paralyzed from the waist down.
Yeah. And, you know, my heart and my thoughts and my prayers go out to those kids. Because his three kids were in the car watching as all of this occurs. This is your father. This is, you know, who you look up to. I can't imagine kids feel, especially being such young ages. I couldn't stomach watching the video. I just couldn't watch it. You know, I was told what happened in the video, but I just have to say that it's so heart-wrenching to think about, you know, what's going on in our society and, you know, just the way in which we're being conditioned to not even be able to walk down the block or drive in our car or, you know, just do certain things that we would think because we're in 2020, living in the United States of America, that we would be able to do, you know, without even having to think about it. But those things and those thought processes are being taken from us every time we see another one of these shootings or these abuse videos that, you know, every time I see it, it's more of a conditioning, and it's gut wrenching, and it's just like, oh God, like whenever I hear about another one or I see it or I read it, I'm like, oh, another one. I thought we marched hard enough. I thought we talked about this hard enough. I thought we protested and you know, told them that this is not going to happen. We're not going to stand for this, but it just keeps on happening. So where do we go from here? How can we process this? How can we channel our feelings? How can we cope appropriately in order for us to be strong enough to, you know, fight on to the next day?
But it's not coming away from the topic of this week. One of the reason why Megan didn't say anything about Tory shooting her is because she didn't want him to be a victim of police brutality. Like, that is the reason why she didn't tell on him. And that's one of the, and that's like the whole story was crazy. When I first heard the story about Megan Thee Stallion, my friend told me, and told me it was Tory Lanez that shot her. And I'm just like, get the hell out of here. There is no way. I mean, you know, the story progressed on. And then when she found, nobody believed her, because that's one of the things that we're also conditioned not to do, is not to take black women seriously. And she had to come out and she had to post a picture of her damaged foot on Instagram and come out with a live and say that it was him that did it. And the reason why she didn't say anything is because she didn't want the police to come and potentially kill a black man. Like, she did not say anything because she did not want him to die. And he still went out and he said lies about her, allegedly, whatever it was. And that's one of the, like, we, in order for any of this to stick, and I honestly, like, I don't know how I feel. I've had some very interesting conversations on social media the last couple of days when it comes to this topic. Like, I don't know how I feel, because the we're fighting an external battle with outside forces and having an even worse war within our own community, and it's between black men and black women. And it is the most disturbing thing I've ever seen in my life, because I said something, and I was trying to make black women understand that they needed to protect their energy and to protect their space and their peace. And I got attacked, like I got torn apart on social media, because people were saying I was gaslighting and victim blaming and saying that women needed to protect themselves so that they don't get abused, when it should be men not abusing women. And I was like, that's not what I said at all. Nobody even read my comment. Everybody was in gaslighting. Like, do any of them even know what gaslighting means? But anyway, I think that in order for us to be able to even fix ourselves when it comes to all these things that are happening externally, if you have a weak foundation, your whole building, you cannot have a strong building if your foundation is weak. And the topic this week, I think, is one of the solutions to the problem that you just mentioned, to what's going on, what happened with Jacob Blake, what happened with George Floyd, what happened with everybody else. Our foundation is not strong. And I know this is supposed to be an in-house conversation, but I consider this an in-house platform, because if there's other people listening, you know, that's their business. But I consider this an in-house platform. We really need to – the topic that we were talking about today is one of the things that will save us from the police brutality in the future. Because if we were protecting ourselves, if we were policing ourselves, if it was back in the day when we had the Black Panther Party that was policing our neighborhood, they can come in if they want to, but you're not going to get far. We allow them to do whatever they want to us. And I'm not talking about everybody. I'm saying, and then we ask them for peace and justice and ask them to treat us properly. Like, it was a conversation that that women were having with me on social media, that you can't, like you can't, I'm saying you can't ask men, black men, black women can't ask black men to protect them. They have to make sure that people respect them. You can't ask somebody that's disrespecting you to respect you. They should, and it shouldn't be something that you ask for. But if you know, like, there's a story, Daddy, and I want you to tell this story about going outside, or the wolves going outside, and there's wolves outside, and you got meat around your neck. I want you to tell that story. I want you to tell that story because that's what I feel like it is a lot, like with the conversation that we're having today about protecting Black women, even protecting ourselves. We need to build a stronger foundation and be better, not be better, but be better at recognizing our purpose. We have to be better at recognizing our power and our strength and our purpose in society, because we still don't think that we're valuable, even though this whole entire society runs on, before it was whatever, now we're called essential workers. This whole entire country is run on essential workers, and that's one of the reasons why there were so many Black people in the hospital during the early stages of COVID, is because the essential workers are Black. We run this country, and we still act like slaves. So, I'm so torn on what happened. You know, these things just keep happening. But we're not doing anything to make sure that we're okay internally. Like, I don't know what the solution is. I don't know how to fix it. But I'm disturbed by everything. I'm disturbed.
Well, let me just offer you a concept, which is something that I've said frequently. And we don't understand what's going on. We don't know why they do what they do, because we've never examined. Why do Eurasians act the way they do? What is it that is so hateful in them? What is it that creates their behavior that they could do what they do? And we have to understand this, and we go to the work that has been put before us before, and it comes down to genetic annihilation. Throughout human history, the strong that survive, it's not the survival of the fittest. The humans that survive are the ones through critical thinking skills are able to adjust to the new world, because the world is always changing. When we look at the six forms of human being, starting with the very first family, the Australopithecus robustus, they lived for a certain amount of time. They developed themselves, but some of them were able to adjust to the new way, and some of them were not. The ones that were able to adjust transformed themselves into Australopithecus gracile, and the ones that could not adapt died off. Australopithecus lived for hundreds of thousands of years. The ones that could survive, adjust to new ways, became Homo habilis, and the ones that did not or could not adjust, for whatever reason, died off. And it happened like that again with Homo erectus, Homo sapiens, and Homo sapiens sapiens. When the African Homo sapiens sapiens left Africa, went into Europe and Asia, because of the Ice Age, they had to adapt to their surroundings. When they adapted to their surrounding, their environment was a hateful environment. It was cold. The degrees went down to 400-something degrees. Can you imagine what your mind is like when you have to live like that? You're holding your baby in your arms, and it literally freezes to death in your arms. No mercy. Your environment, because of the nature of how you perceive it, is jealous, it's angry, it is murderous. And so you adapt to that environment and become like that. You become jealous, envious, murderous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's just adapting to your, and that's what got them through, those Africans that then morphed into who we call the Cro-Magnon, came out of the mountains when the ice mountains rescinded and the Ice Age ended, and they came back with that mentality of hate, envy, jealousy. But more importantly, the very first thing that they should have done was follow nature. And the very first thing they should have done was look for the biggest, blackest person that they could find had to mate with them.
They're making up for
Instead
it.
Instead of doing that, because of their xenophobia and their backwards thinking and their barbarous and savage behavior, they only mated amongst themselves.
Mm.
And in so doing, what was once a mutation that could have gone back onto the human archetype, which the original was African, those mutations became mutations of mutations. What we don't realize is that when a European man sees a black man, they do in their pants. They're scared to death. They don't kill you because they hate you. They kill you because they are absolutely afraid of you. They are afraid of your melanin. They are afraid of the fact that they know that they are mutations and that they only have but so much time to live because they should have joined the human family. And they should have mated with other original archetypes, African people. But instead,
can
they work themselves off. Say again.
I want to add context. I just want to say one thing to what you just said. The Ahmaud Arbery, when he got arrested or when he got stopped by the police in 2017, the police said that the reason why they did what they did is because he had veins popping out of his chest and they were afraid of the veins in his body. So when
what
you
about
said
Michael
what you
Brown?
Said, that's what I thought of. They were,
what
they,
about Michael
like,
Brown? Is that what the policeman said? What
kid.
About Zimmerman?
Well,
isn't that
child?
What Zimmerman said?
Mm-hmm.
And they were children. Like,
now,
adults are children,
now,
doesn't matter. But still, like, how are you a grown man and you afraid of children?
Because
but then
it's
you
your
have
color
to delve
that
into
of.
That. You have to delve into that psychological fight or flight. You have to delve into that psychological. You're supposed to be the protector of all. Therefore, if you're
right.
if there's those characteristics that you do not hold, you should not be. So
no, but
if
wait a
you
minute,
are
wait
not
a minute.
Able,
but they're not in our community to protect or serve us. They're in our community to kill us because
right.
they know they must get rid of the young African. How many? Look how many people it took to take down Arbery. He was by himself. They
yeah.
needed guns.
Always.
He didn't have nothing. He was running.
Always.
What about, well, I'm not even going to go with Breonna Taylor. How many police were there?
Two.
When you're dealing with our brother?
And she was
George
a kid.
Floyd. How many police were on
right.
him? There were four policemen
right.
on him.
Right.
Look at how they mm-hmm. do it. Just look at what they do. They don't do it one-on-one. They all do it in groups because wolves are basic cowards. Wolves only attack when they're in packs.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to understand this psychology so that when you see them murdering us in the community, you have to understand the fear factor. When they see a black man, when they see melanin, be you male or female, fear
That's
runs
crazy.
Through their blood.
That's crazy.
They are mentally disturbed. Racism is the number one mental disorder. So we have to understand why they do what they do. Because if we don't understand that, or if we misinterpret why they do what they do, to think,
mm-hmm.
oh, they hate us. No, they don't hate you. Hate is a result of a much deeper psychological dimension, which is fear. And fear is false evidence appearing real.
Mm.
Once we analyze this and we understand why they're doing what they're doing, then we can handle it. We're going to do this in light of the fact that here's George Floyd. The whole world has turned upside down because of George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to tell me that this group of police in Wisconsin approaching this young man does not have some semblance of common sense to know Well, you know, with George Floyd, I really don't want to get caught up in shooting a black man. Psychological. There's psychological issues. The internal mental disorder. They're not even thinking about George Floyd. They're seeing melanin. They feel fear, and they want to get rid of it. That's what they, and that's how the teachers feel in the classroom. It's not just the police. The police didn't become like that when they became police. They brought that attitude into the police department. The same way their wives or maybe their family, who are teachers, brings the same racism into the classroom. The same way the fire department brings the racism into the classroom. I am for the residency rule. Residency works. If you live in the community in which you serve, you are going to be careful how you conduct yourself. Because if you know you don't see them people in church or in the supermarket or in the cleaners or in the shoe repair, if you know that your child is in that person's classroom, you definitely will talk to them differently. Residency. And there should be some, like, within a mile of the fire department, you ought to work in the fire department. Why is it taking you 3 hours to get to work from here in New York? Take you 3 hours to get to work. Stay in your neighborhood. Police your neighborhood. And let us police ours.
They should.
However fast. But it's up to us to start the plan. Because they're not going to do it. We need to do it.
That's what it is.
So once we understand, then we can handle the situation. Why are they doing this? Why did they have four people on George Floyd? What was it? This
and
must have been a
Superman. And he was nearly in tears. But
he and
was
he was in handcuffs.
Tears.
He was in
right.
handcuffs. Well, where was he going? What was he going to do? Fear. We have to understand. They don't hate us. They fear us. And they particularly fear a black man. Why? Because it's the black man that's going to protect the black woman. Why would that be important? Because it's the black woman that's going to give birth to the future black world. And if she is protected, she will produce the children necessary. And if he is in a place to protect her, she will go through a healthy pregnancy and a healthy relationship. So you got to break the family up.
That's what's happening.
I just try to drop it like a knot, Sam.
But we're letting it happen.
But we have to wake up. We have to study. Okay?
Well, let's,
because,
we'll
hey,
let that
Sam,
breathe
let me tell you
and,
something.
Oh, go ahead.
Hey,
go ahead.
Hey, just this final thing I want to say. Okay? Brother, you put your hand on a woman.
Your hand?
You deserve what
it wasn't
you
a
get.
Hand.
I ain't covering for you.
It wasn't a hand. It was a gun.
Well, whatever it was, if you do any type of offense against anybody, not just a black woman, but a black man too, but I'm going to focus on the sister because of the nature of the sacred woman as I perceive the African woman to be. If you violate her, you pay the price. That is one of the laws of Ma'at, reciprocity. You shall reap what you sow. You shoot her in the foot. Put your butt where it belongs. It's just simple like that. I have heart. I understand what you went through. I understand your dynamics. I understand what we've gone through as a black people. But we ain't got time for weakness. And if you're willing to shoot a black woman, you're weak. You got to go.
That's true.
Maybe go to counseling.
But
maybe go to counseling while you're in a place that keeps you under control.
Yeah.
That's just how we have to look at this.
But,
you know, yeah, snitches don't get stitches. Snitches don't get stitches. If you're protecting your community, that's all a psychological game that they have on.
No, Megan had to get Megan had to get stitches. Megan had to get stitches because she didn't snitch. Well, not because
she
didn't snitch.
But she wasn't
snitching.
She was only telling that, hey, he shot me.
Right. No, I'm saying I was just going along with the actual words that you said, but she didn't tell because she didn't want him to get in trouble. because she saw the climate and what was going on in the black community when it came to law enforcement, so she did not say anything. So in her silence, his people started lying on her, allegedly. I got to say allegedly because we're on the radio, but like they started lying on her from what she's saying. And that's
Tasha,
really, really unfortunate.
It is, because I want to tell you another story, then I'm done for this segment because I know you got music to play. You know, I took Caress to 125th Street here in Harlem a couple Sundays back. We was hanging out. Caress is my grandson, by the way, for those, and Sasha's son, for those that may wonder who this is. 8 years old. We hang out. I took him to 125th Street, and I went to my, you know, on the way back up, you know, I parked the car, walked down. We went down 125th Street. We bought some things from the vendors, and we crossed the street and came back on the other side. And I stopped off at the Uptown Juice Bar, which is one of my favorite places. In fact, it's the only place I eat, really. One of the only places I eat. And
I just started going there, too.
Yeah, Uptown, good food.
Go ahead, Daddy.
So,
yeah,
so I was standing in there, and I had to go to the restroom, and there was a couple in front of me, and then there was a brother in front of them to go to the restroom. I went to the restroom. I brought Caress with me. We did what we had to do. We come back. And I look over on the side, and the couple is on the side, and they're looking at the guy. Now, this guy was in front of them. So it's obvious that they already placed their order. He had already placed his order when I was on my way to the restroom. And so I come back, and I get on back online because I'm ready to order. And this guy goes off on me. He's telling me, you've got to stay back 6 feet. I don't want to get sick. And he's yelling. And this guy's yelling so loud that his face mask is popping off his face. This is how much wind he's blowing out
I'm
and he's yelling at me.
I'm not laughing.
And I'm looking at Caress because I want to make sure he's all right because I don't want him to, you know, get off or think something's wrong. So he was just looking at the guy.
Chrissy
he wasn't
go,
saying nothing.
Chrissy,
he was
Chrissy
just looking at him.
You. Don't you ain't even got to worry about it.
Oh, no. No. And that's another thing. I just wanted to make sure. But,
right.
You know, he said, because if I get sick, how am I going to find you? And I said, well, brother, if you get sick, forget me. You better find a hospital. And that made people laugh. But
that's dangerous.
But here's the point that I'm making going back to what you said. I'm looking at this guy yelling and screaming. And I'm saying to myself, okay, this is after George Floyd, by the way. I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. Now, if I get up in his face and if I trigger him and he goes off and they call the police and the policemen come up in here and all of a sudden you see me on TV, they're interviewing me and let's say the police shot this guy because of what he was going to do because he had issues. He had emotional issues. Let's say they shot him and they're interviewing me as the cause for why this brother got shot. There is another burden that we carry in our community that even to a point of defending ourselves, we're afraid to defend ourselves because we don't want to call the police because we're afraid of what they're going to do. And then we are going to have to live with that memory that we're the reason. So going back to Megan Thee Stallion, she's saying to herself, if I call the police, you know, and whatever feeling she had for him, don't know, but whatever the feeling was, afraid we are contained within containment with this. Now, for all intentions and purposes, if this guy had gone off, I would have had to done something. But by the blessings of the Creator and all things that happened, he was able to puff away from me after he got his food, and he was able to puff away from me. But I looked at the couple, and the couple were looking at me like, yeah, he did the same thing to me. But he should have moved. He should have been standing where the other couple, once you place your order, you move. You don't stand in front of the person. You don't stand in front of the cashier. You move to the side and let the next person order.
but he just kept standing there. Then he started yelling at them because they were too close to him. But you should have moved off to the side so I can place my order.
But so what? What we have to realize that's going on within people, and this is, you know, it knows no color, age, or color, creed, age, nothing. That the people are they're having a psychological response to everything that's going on within our society, where it's either the COVID virus, Black Lives Matter, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the wildfires, all of the Mother Nature's doing, you know, people and the president, and what could be,
don't forget,
you know.
You'll be very offended if you forget him. Do not forget the president.
But people are having
you, and he will make you.
But people are having a real hard time with processing and moving past everything that's going on within society today, and we're just getting hit one after another, and we're not able to even reprieve in order for us to figure out our next move, and so. A lot of people, you know, within my field of work, a lot of people that I'm coming across, they've never, ever had any symptoms of any behavioral mental health issue, but now they're finding themselves unable to process, unable to, you know, move past, unable to break down what's going on within their mind, and it's causing them to have now these symptoms. And it could vary from depression, anxiety, panic. You know, a lot of people that got tested and it was positive with COVID, they're having a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder. And people are not realizing what they have to do in order to get better. And it's making people literally go crazy, quote unquote. And we just have to realize that we just have to be patient with one another, because I'm sure that brother or whoever, I didn't hear the race that he was, but I'm sure that in order for him to respond the way that he's responding, he's dealing with a high level of stress. And if you then channeled your anger and your stress and said, you know, triggered him, like you said, it would have caused an unhealthy response to a situation that would have escalated and snowballed. So what you did and what we have to do as a society is we have to recognize that people are dealing with a lot right now, and they may not be thinking and processing and acting and understanding what they're dealing with. And sometimes you just got to walk away from a situation. But there's so many times that you see things escalate. People get so upset with you being anywhere even near them that they're not even recognizing that they may be the reason or the cause to the distance or the lack thereof distance. So, you know, in order to move past it and get better, we just have to find ways to deal with things, because instead of him telling you to move, he could have moved. So there are many different things that people are not thinking, and it's hard for them to process. So it's good that you were able to not internalize, you know, what he was dealing with, the stress that he was dealing with, the issues that he was dealing with. You didn't internalize that. You didn't take that burden on. You didn't take that baggage with you. You allowed it. You allowed him to hold on to what he's dealing with. And I'm sure your response to him made him rethink how he felt or what he said to the next person.
Well, the one thing I kept telling him, Conde K and Sasha, is, hey, brother, it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
You know, I understand, man, there's a lot of stuff going on. That's what I was, I understand, brother. And I said it in the convoys, but you know also, Conde K and Sasha, really what I was doing was not just to calm him down, but to calm the room down.
Yeah.
Because it's obvious that he started a lot of stuff in that room before I got in there.
Yeah.
And so I attempted in my own way, because, you know, I'm the father of super social workers, so I'm trying to
figure out, well, what would Tommy Day do right about now? You know, just like when it comes to money, I'm always saying, now, what would Sasha do right now? So that, you know, what I try to do is, for our people's sake, and Kondike, you're right, because we're under a lot of pressure. Even people that think that everything is all right, myself included, I know I'm under some type of pressure. I'm not really doing it because I got so much work I'm doing. My mind isn't on really what's going on. But I know I'm under pressure. Mm-hmm. I have to be under pressure for what's going on.
Anybody would be. Exactly.
You've got to be if you're a human being.
If you weren't, exactly. If you weren't under stress or under pressure, now you have to really look and see what's going on. Because
that's
this
right.
is a natural response to everything that we're dealing with. We're dealing with things that we haven't had to deal with in a while, you know, and we're dealing with things that we can control and things that we can't control. And it's funny, the power dynamic and the way people wield power, crave power, need power, and when they're put under pressure and they don't have that power, how that changes people. And you know, we just have to recognize that there's things that we're going to have to let go. There's things we're going to have to check. And there's things that we're going to have to find that middle ground to. Because if somebody was yelling at me that way, you best believe my response may have been a little bit different just depending on the type of day that I was having and
That's
vice
right.
versa. So, you know, we have to really look, feel, understand, and breathe. People, you know, they take the breathing for granted, but when you breathe in, when you take those deep breaths, when you pay attention to that where is the breath going? Is it going into your lungs? Let me breathe it in through my nose, through my lungs. Let me breathe it out through my mouth. You know, when you start to process that and be within that moment, you start to recognize, am I angry? Why am I angry? Why am I sad? Why am I confused? Why am I, you know, call a name to what it is, and then you'll be able to move forward and combat it or avoid it or battle it. Like, there's many different ways that you approach different things that come in life. And life is too short, and I'm not going to be stressed. I'm not going to have high blood pressure. I'm not going to drink the poison and wish the next person, like, that's not going to happen. Because a lot of times people start the fires, they'll run out, and then the person is the one that's caught in it, and they can't get out of it. And that's just not going to happen. Life is too short, and we're seeing nowadays life is extremely short.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And with that said, let me segue into the song that I've been trying
to play
tonight.
Oh, yeah. Kondike, you DJ
tonight?
Oh,
I'm
you go, girl. DJ Kondike.
DJ Kondike. Just call me that.
Here we go. I'm a poet and don't know.
There we go. So I'm going to play this, you know. I like me a little bit of oldies, you know, going on.
Watch out how oldie you get. Because oldie may be newbie for me.
But this song has been done multiple times by multiple talented individuals. But, you know, the original, the OG, is just that much sweeter. So sit back, relax, and listen to this. Listen to this. I could be a DJ, right? A disc jockey. Relax.
You sound like you got the mic.
There we go. And marinate on this and let me know how you feel while the record spins.
Watch out. Don't put more dips in your hips and more cut in your stride. More glide in your stride.
Well, we know who the real DJ was. We know who the real DJ was.
Okay. Oh, man. All right. Well, we'll be back.
In a little tent, oh.
Watch out now, Silky. Silky, that's a mess.
I told you. I got one in store for you.
We're going back in time. But you want to know something? That is so appropriate. Because the atmosphere that we're living in right now, even for your generation, is very much like the atmosphere when I was growing up. It's the same type of feeling of concern, at times despair. Sadness,
confusion, yep, anger.
But a change is going to come. A change is going to come.
It has to.
It's just a very appropriate concept. And like you said, I've got so many different versions of that song by males and females. So.
And they've done a phenomenal job with it. But for some reason, that original. You feel the pain.
Yes.
You feel, it's almost like it channels you back to that time. And that time is now today. It's now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to realize that we're not so far from where we were. We're not so far from slavery, mentally and physically. And, you know, I was watching the documentary I forgot. It was something about Brooklyn, and it talked about the guy that does the, I think, videography on Hot 97, and it was around the time it happened. It was in a Italian neighborhood, and it was I think two or three black guys that were just going to look at a car to buy.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah.
They got wrapped up
in.
Yeah, and that is it. Watching those videos. It mirrors exactly what's going on today, and it's so crazy that, just like today, back in the day, that was happening. That happened right around the time of the Central Park accusations with the five teens, and you know the thought process and. Just the way that people are responding to the situations that are occurring, it's very similar. And it's like, how have we not grown as a people, as a society? How have we not done this? And this was back just 32 years ago. I think it was in 1988 or 1987 or something like that. It's crazy, but it's just so crazy that
And
it's just the fact that within our lifetime, we've had to deal with so much, and it's like, how can we change this for the future? How can we ensure? Go ahead.
You see, family, you know, what changed was us. Remember, there was a time when I was alive that if my family and I traveled on the bus, I would have to have gotten in the back in my lifetime.
That's crazy.
There was a time that I would have to drink from a special water fountain. And if my water fountain wasn't working, I couldn't drink water. Mm. There was a time that I could not imagine going to McDonald's and they tell you that you got to go around to drive through because you cannot sit in the restaurant.
That's crazy.
Imagine getting on a bus where you put your money
in
the front and then you get off to get on because you weren't allowed to get on the bus in the front. You had to get on the front, you had to get on the front, pay your fare, and then go around and get on the back of the bus. And there was, I would say, a third of the time, the bus driver would just take off and leave you and take your money. And there was nothing you could do about it. That's my lifetime. That's my lifetime.
But can I say, I don't know how I feel about it. And I know, and I understand what you were saying earlier, and I get it. But it really is a concern of me because I remember listening to The Breakfast Club, and was it? Oh man, Oh my God, it's like I can see it. I think it's Claude Anderson. But Claude, was it that I was telling you about one time that he was on The Breakfast Club? Claude Anderson.
What was he saying?
During when the Montgomery bus boycott happened, there was a black-owned bus company, but nobody wanted to ride on it. Everybody was fighting to ride on the white-owned bus company. But there was a black-owned bus company that we had that, like you say, we should have been focusing on that. But the response that Charlamagne gave was that we think that white ice is colder, and that is so true. Name brands, the roles on television, the stores that we go into, the restaurants that we eat at, we think that if it's white, it's right. And black people believe that, whether they admit it or not. It's still a widespread belief that black people.
Oh, I think something we lost her. Dad, are you still there?
No, you didn't. No, I'm still here. My headphone died. I had to switch it.
Okay.
It's something that we believe. I don't know, and I realize that a lot of it is mental. I realize that it's epigenetics. I understand that. But we have to be willing to break away from the thoughts that we have. We have to be willing. Like, when I had that, when that video that I saw yesterday that I commented on about black women, it triggered so many black women, and it was the saddest thing I have ever seen in my life. The way that triggered black women was disturbing, and it broke my heart.
But in order for you to deal with what you're experiencing, you first have to acknowledge that there is that issue there or that thought process there and that mental slavery that the chains are no longer around our wrists and our ankles, but they're around our brains. And that's the worst, the psychological
slavery is worse,
slavery is worse
slavery.
Than the physical, because the physical slavery
exactly.
occurred, but mentally you couldn't bring them down. You couldn't take their life from them. You couldn't take their spirituality from them. You couldn't take their thriving and their, okay, I'm going to leave and this is how I'm going to do it. You couldn't take that from them.
You know, There's a proverb that says you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I view
I love this. I love when you say this.
First
everybody
of all,
this, Daddy.
Okay. You got to make the horse realize that it's thirsty.
Yeah.
You know, and so what you do is you take a little bit of the water that you come from, because where the water pond is just right over the hill. It's very close. It's not far. But the horse the horse's view is being blocked by a hill. But right over that hill is the water. But the horse don't know that. And so you bring a little bit of the water and you say, yo, man, you know, you heard about water? The horse looking at you say, what, I ain't thirsty. What I need? I don't need no water. I don't need. And say, oh, okay, but, you know, do you want to taste this right here? And the horse look at your hand and lick the water. Pretty soon the horse say, this is good. Where you get this from? And you say, well, it's right over the hill. And the horse is looking. And pretty soon, you give him a little bit more water, a little bit more water. Pretty soon, the horse say, man, get on my back. I'm going to take you over there. You don't have to lead the horse to water. Make the horse realize that it's thirsty, because pretty soon, you'll be standing there. The horse be standing there looking at you like, what, you think I'm going back to where I used to be? And all this water is right here. Enough for you, enough for me. You think I'm going back where I was to be dry? No, I'm going to stay here where the water is.
But that's the problem. Sometimes people are there. They don't realize that they're there. They don't know how to process that they're there. They don't know how to live within that water. They don't know how to live within that no longer thirsty. You want for nothing. And it's very hard for people to live like that when they've lived the opposite their whole life.
The moral to the story is, before you try to lead the horse to water, let the horse realize that it's thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, you don't have to lead the horse to water. The horse will say, get on my back. I'll take you there.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to do it with an understanding that the horse has never had water before. So the horse don't know that it's thirsty, because it doesn't know what it is to be without water, because it never had water.
Mm-hmm.
So when our people, when our sisters understand, hey, you don't have to take that from nobody.
Mm-hmm.
It don't make a difference who it is. You don't have to take that from nobody. You have rights. Mm. You know, I tell you that story about those young girls I was on the bus with. Coming home, you know, I was coming home. These young sisters got on from high school. This was after school. Got on, the girls were laughing and joking and going back and forth with each other, and everything was all right. And then some brothers got on the bus. And the brothers came back, started talking to the girls. One bad brothers, you know, they were talking, going back. They knew each other, going back and forth. And then one of the brothers said, yo, where you bitches going?
Mm.
And I watched, because I wanted to see if any of the sisters would put one of those brothers in check. One of them got up and walked away and sat in a different section, but none of the others reacted to it. When the brothers got off the bus, I looked at the sisters. I say, yo, young sisters, I don't mean no disrespect. I'm a teacher. And I said, I was sitting back here reading, but when those brothers came on and y'all were interacting, my attention, but when they said to you, yo, where you bitches going, somebody in here should have told them something. Say, ain't no bitches on this bus.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a bitch, they're not here. So go where they are, because they're not here. Somebody needed to speak and say, yo, you know, you just don't talk to me that way.
Mm-hmm.
But,
right.
You know, we've been conditioned in certain ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These words don't mean anything. In fact, people are quite proud to say, I'm a bitch.
Yep. It's a form of endearment.
And while I understand the context, I also understand what it actually relates to.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be willing to, like you said, somebody should have said something. We have to be willing to say something. I remember, and I might have told this story before, but I remember when we were in the supermarket, me and Christian were in the supermarket, and this man, a man that is always drunk all the time, stood behind one of the cashiers. A young girl, young as hell,
and she happened to be, you know, shaped in a certain way. And he stood behind her, and he was like, damn, girl. I was like, oh, hell no. Like, I was like, sir, what is the matter with you? And he ended up, and, like, I don't even know where it came from. I don't know, I don't know what made me say it, but it just, something took over, and I was like, I don't know why you think it's all right for you to talk to her like that, but it's not okay. And he ended up sobering up in 2 seconds. You know, like, there's no way I'm going to stand here and allow you as a grown, you got a full head of gray hair. I don't care, drunk or not. I don't care if you're the neighborhood drunk. You are not allowed to speak to a young lady like that. She probably is a minor. I don't even think that she was older than 18. She might have been. I can't tell. I can't tell how old she was. But even Christian was about to fight the man, and this was like 4 years ago. So Christian was like four, about to fight this grown man because he was disrespecting a woman. And that is the type of children you need to raise, and that's the type of example that you need to be. I was an example to show that you cannot treat women that way. And then Christian, at 4 years old, learned that you protect women matter what. And that's what we should be doing for our kids, and that's who we should be for ourselves. There's no reason that any black woman, or woman in general, but this particular conversation is about black women, there's no reason that anybody should feel unsafe walking down the street. And as I was talking to the women on social media yesterday, I realized that I do things to protect my peace and to protect my physical self that I shouldn't have to do. Like, if I see a group of men on any street, I'll cross the street so I don't have to walk by them. There are certain things that I will do just so that I don't have to do, and I shouldn't have to do that ever. But in me talking about it, I realized that there are things that I do as a woman, as a black woman, in order for me to be sane and safe and alive, I have to completely, because there's situations, like one of the girls that was talking to me said that she turned a guy down and he shot at her. She said her cousin actually got shot. There's a woman that got hit in the face with a skateboard because she told a guy that she had a boyfriend in Brooklyn. So there's something seriously wrong with what's going on. I don't know what is happening, but there's something going on, and we need to really take a look at what we're doing, pay attention to our children, teach them properly. It doesn't matter if it's a girl or a boy. There's stuff that you have to teach each gender in order to make sure that they end up being decent human beings in society and protect themselves. So, like, there's a lot that society needs to do for us, but there's a lot that we need to do for each other and ourselves also. And I don't care how hard it is. I don't care if it's a mental thing. I don't care about if it's epigenetics. We need to fix it so that it doesn't fester and become the infection that it's becoming and completely ruin the society, because we can get justice tomorrow. Like you said, Daddy, you said all right, we're going to give you everything you want. Are we ready? And I don't think that we're ready at all in any way, shape, or form. I think some of us are, but as a collective, I don't think we are.
Gotta open your eyes and
As a group, we haven't had counseling for 400 years.
Right.
We need counseling. Mm-hmm. Gone through what we went through, we need counseling. This is one of the things that I speak about all of the time.
Yep.
And
hurt people,
we are going to be aware. But first, it goes back to what Kandike said. You have to own the problem before you recognize you got one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even willing to say, you know something, I got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Because we're too worried about what society is going to say and what people are going to say about us. We're too worried about the next
person. And we've
never had counseling. Yeah. But
we've never had counseling to have it. Remember the horse? You remember the horse?
Yeah.
If the horse don't know it's thirsty, and if a person doesn't know that they need counseling, they look at you like, I don't need counseling. You need counseling.
Right.
You're the one talking about it.
Yeah. But it's the stigma associated. It's the stigma associated, because I was even talking to this guy that he's Haitian, and, you know, he was discussing how, like, image is everything. Like, he told a story about how his grandfather, you know, every day he didn't have a job, but he still woke up, he still dressed and went out and, you know, provided for the family. And that was his pride. And, you know, the neighborhood
talked if they knew what everybody's business was. So everybody was afraid to talk. So counseling and therapy, for people to know that you have a problem, for outsiders to know of your issue, that's a very serious, deep-rooted, you know, stigma that they associate with it. So it's very hard for people to acknowledge that counseling is not, I have an issue. Counseling is to prevent issues. Counseling is prevention uh-huh. versus cure. It should not be you're in a crisis uh-huh. and this is the first time you're going for counseling. Counseling is to ensure you have a clear mind state, ensure that mind, body, and soul, you're able to live out your day, do what you want to do, appreciate who you are, acknowledge and understand your thoughts. Saying it out loud is totally different than what you may be thinking within your mind. And so, you know, a lot of people, when they say it out loud, it's shocking. It's scary. It's you know, it's like when you have an infection and you got to take the pus out and it hurts for the pus to come out. But in order for you to heal appropriately, you need to get all of that toxins, all of that pus, all of that infection out of your body in order for your body to heal appropriately. And a lot of people are scared of the process because it evokes things that have been held down deep for years. And this is a taught process. Who you are today is who you were as a child. You learn from your parents, you learn from your elders, you learn from those that have come before you. So in my mind, when Christian comes over, I let him ask whatever question he wants because I don't want him to not feel the ability to ask questions. And that process mm-hmm. was taught to us by Daddy. We, regardless of what it was, we can go to Daddy and Mommy and talk to them about things that we were dealing with versus learning from our peers. Society now, the kids are learning from their peers and they're not learning appropriately. And, you know, things are starting to happen that if they would have just been able to go to their parents and get, you know, get that knowledge base, get that wisdom from the parents, they would be able to move forward and entrust in their parents that what they're telling them is appropriate for the, you know, for the situation. And how can you move past it and grow and come into the person that you are?
Mm-hmm. I remember y'all used to say, la, 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 I can't hear you, I can't hear you. I'd rather you hear it from me than hear it on the street.
Yeah.
So take your hands out your ears and listen to what I got to say.
It's very true. And you know, coming from that household and looking at it to this day, like it made 100% sense that we would respond the way we did because we're youth. But it was your response and your owning up, you know, and making sure that what you did was everything that was in your power to do, whether we realized that we needed it or not. And that's that whole horse mentality. You made us understand that we were thirsty for this knowledge, and that thirst then turned into the reason why we are who we are today.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So
we
parents,
all took responsibility. Wow.
Parents have to take this on. Not even just parents. So anybody that's in a position of having the youth, look up to them and listen to them and see them and emulate them. You know, we have to be the role models. We have to teach because we were taught when we were little. And just as hurt people, healed people need to heal people. And I'll say that mm-hmm. time and time again because we as a society, when we've learned situations, we have to pass that to the other person, not think that they're going to take over and be better than, or fear for, you know, the youth being smarter than the teacher. Let me learn. Let me be a student. I will be the student. I will listen to the youth. There's things that Christian teaches me, and I'm like, all right. Okay, you got this. Yeah, you know what?
all the time.
I didn't think about that.
All the time.
Just the new and fresh
thought process, because we've lived our lives the way that we have, the youth are able to look at it with fresh new eyes, and they're able to and analyze things and understand things better. And, you know, we just have to listen to our youth and protect them, because we are the responsible parties.
Powerful thing. Conversation.
So true.
And that's and this is where we are. And and so, you know, as it relates to Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion and all these young people that are coming up, everybody's dealing with them. But the bottom line is that, you know, when I opened myself up and I listened, I heard Cardi B, and it was an interesting thing. I don't know if I think this happened after we've had our last program. But I remember people were getting on her for WAP. They were getting on Megan and Cardi B for WAP. W-A-P. You all know what that means. I'm not going to say. But, you know,
you
I checked it out. And, And then I heard, Cardi B's clap back. And Cardi B say, yo, let me tell y'all something. And, you know, I've known so many young girls like Cardi B in South Central Bronx. I swear I must have passed her in the hallway at least one time in my career. But she said, yo, let me tell y'all something now. So she getting all up in herself. And she said, y'all be coming down on us, be talking about us, about what we do and what we say and how we dance and how we dress and all the rest of that. But there's sisters out here that don't act like us. They don't talk like us. They say all the right things. They dance the way they're supposed to. You're supposed to. The way you think they should dance, they dress the way you think they should dance, but y'all don't support them. And so now you telling me that I need to be like them, but you didn't support them. What makes me think you gonna support me?
Cardi B saying them facts though. Cardi B, like she comes from a different mentality, but what she says is completely correct. And many of what she comes out and says, presidential,
you know,
politics,
That's what I was going to say. Most of the time, Cardi B is right. Like, if you, like, people hear her voice and but if you listen to
it's
the
hard
words that she's saying,
yeah,
most of the time she's right.
I think
you
it
know,
took me a while. Because
I have my own,
of the delivery,
I have my own
it's
about
hard.
Her, but well, most of the time
well,
she's right.
Well, I've sort of kind of leaned toward Cardi B because she reminds me of so many young sisters I've taught. You know, when you in South Central Bronx, there are the schools that she says that she went to, I could have very well been in one of those schools visiting, doing something. I could have visited her classroom or whatever. I've known
she's
so many young girls.
But she's in hybrid.
Like,
that's near 229. Hybrid is near 229, I think. I think she
well,
lived,
hybrid is,
she grew up near. She grew up near your
well,
school.
That's Harlem.
She might have gone to
well,
your school.
That's Harlem River Park.
No,
hybrid
in the Bronx.
Yeah, Highbridge is a little bit
not
more south. You know what I get a sense of is she was somewhere in the South Bronx. I was South Central Bronx. District 7. I get a feeling she's from District 7. I could be wrong.
It's the West Side.
But there really is no except for Riverdale, District 10. District 9 and District 10 would be West Side. But part of the South Bronx also is in that area because that's the way the districts were broken up. But I've always been somewhat leaning towards Cardi B because I've known a lot of young sisters like her who have absolute genius, got that attitude all up in your face, but very intelligent and very perceptive. No matter what they may do, no matter how they may turn out in terms of what we consider to be appropriate or not, I see her as being very intelligent, and she'll come back at you. And the thing is that we all have to stop and ask ourselves, what part of this problem am I causing? That's the first thing I always ask. If I got a situation, I always ask, what part am I playing in? Because once I find out what part I'm playing from this, then I can figure out how to solve the issue. Because if you're doing something to this problem, but you're looking at everybody else as the problem, you'll never solve it because part of the problem is you. So once I do me, then I can look at everything else and figure out, well, now how can I handle it? Once I deal with my own part that I'm playing in. So I just think that we all need to back up, and I think that we need to reach out to somebody that we trust that we can talk to for what I don't know if we want to call it counseling or rap session or whatever, because, you know, a counseling session could very well be called a rap session where we just going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
They do it all the time in barbershops. That's the mm-hmm. counselor's central, and in the beauty salon, and sometimes at the bar.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Cool. I've always said that psychologists that want to do internship should intern at one of those three places: barbershop, beauty shop, or bar. The three B's. Because that's where you're going to really get loaded abilities to help the community. Because for the most part, people that go to psychiatrists and psychologists, they'll only tell you what they want you to hear, unless they're really honest.
Uh-huh.
But when they get up there and get their hair cut, they tell that brother everything that bothers them.
Uh-huh.
To you earlier today, I said, well, since this issue is going to be dealing with, you know, Megan Thee Stallion and the feminine concept, I told you that I'm going to let y'all sisters talk. But I guess I have a lot to say.
But it's important.
I do.
But that's what women need. Women, because mm-hmm. a lot of women do not feel the support. A lot of Black women do not feel the support that they should. And it's sad because no matter how loud and boisterous Black men think Black women are, they're still at the end of the day, the ones that support Black men the most. Even if they got an attitude while they're doing it,
that's still right.
The ones that are supporting Black men the most. And they're still the ones that when the men walk out, they're raising their children. And they're doing the best that they can. Even if they're not as successful as society wants them to be, Black women are still the ones that are raising the children that some people don't want. And like, Black women are still the foundation of the Black community, even beyond the fact that they're the most disrespected and unappreciated people in the entire country. Even beyond that, they're still, that's why they have all those shows where the men are going to prison and the women are traveling for hours to go and see them. But the issue was with Monica and C. Murder, there's a woman that came out and she was talking about how she's never missed a visit and blah, like she's gone to see C. Murder. So it's essentially the girl coming at Monica, but it's still like this one, the man has been in jail for a long time. And this woman said she never missed a visit. She never missed it. She had pictures with him. She posted pictures of him. Black women are the most supportive. And it doesn't matter if Black men think that they got attitudes, they're nasty, they still support them. Even with an attitude, Black women still support Black men 1,000%. So
listen,
we really need to realize what's going on.
Let me drop some science so that we can understand this from a scientific perspective, and this is not emotion. This is science. Historically, Black women, women of African descent, not only created the world, not only shaped the world, they're still running the world.
Yeah.
Yep. Even to this day,
mm-hmm.
in all of the plantation, it was the Black woman that ran the plantation. Even the white woman and the white man listened to, if I may call her, Mammy.
Mm-hmm.
She ran the plantation. She made sure everything happened the way it was supposed to happen. That's history.
Mm-hmm.
Even in plantation, Black women ran things.
Mm-hmm. Still
even
now.
To this day, Black women run things. Even to this day, it was one man that said something that saved and resuscitated Joe Biden. But it was the Black women of South Carolina that made him the candidate. Clyburn, in that speech that he gave, one of the most powerful things that he said was the fact that he made mention of his wife who had died, I think, a year earlier. And it was out of his comment about himself and how his wife felt about Joe Biden that snapped back the head of South Carolina that allowed Joe Biden to become the candidate that he was, because he was going to Bernie Sanders. Mm. He was a black man that initiated, but it was the black woman that did it. I am a proud black man. I'm proud to be a man. I'm proud to be African. I understand the role that I play on this planet, but we got to give sisters the credit that they are due. And at the same time, we must tell our sister, to whom much is given, much is expected.
Mm.
And so as the original mother of the planet, as the original shaper of the society, as the original business person and farmer, I love my sisters. And I'm asking our brothers, let's step back for a moment, reassess the situation, and let's become one with our sisters. I'm not about putting a sister up on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
She's human.
Mm-hmm.
What I am saying is let's stand beside her and together build a society
mm-hmm.
that we need for our children. Together.
Mm-hmm.
Side by side.
Absolutely.
That's why Thrones and Kush
yep.
were side
yep.
by side. One wasn't in front of the
mm-hmm.
other.
That's right.
One wasn't
yep.
Above one another. They were side by side.
Side by side. That's how it should be. That's how things should be run. That's how we need to think. One is not better. Nobody is better than anybody else.
Well, you know, science breaks that down. Electricity and magnetism. Men are electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Women are magnetism. Electrical fields. I'm sorry. Electrical currents create magnetic fields. Magnetic
mm-hmm.
fields spawn electricity. Without one, the other couldn't exist. Electrical currents, magnetic fields.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the way it is. The electric creates the magnet. The magnet creates the electric. Together, they are electromagnetism. That's what makes the world go around.
Mm.
It's science. It's science. It's knowledge. It's wisdom. It's breaking it down so people understand what it is that you're saying. To our brothers, we ain't going nowhere if we don't respect our women. And sisters, we ain't going nowhere if we don't respect our men. But most importantly, family, ain't nobody going
mm-hmm.
nowhere unless we respect ourselves.
That's right. Whew!
That's how
way
don't
to
say, nobody
add
said
that.
Nothing else. That,
exactly. That's
exactly.
It. Posse done. All right, guys. You know, we back at it again on the ones and twos. I got the next song ready and queued up for you when you guys are ready. So, you know, just just let me know when to hit press play, all right?
Oh! Hey, listen, you DJ.
DJ
Tony
K, back
move.
At it again, you know.
Tell
you know,
us when it
is.
We follow your lead tonight.
We
ready when you
in the name in the name of change, I'm gonna play this
Ooh.
Next record. This is not a, as oldie as before, but
okay.
this still drop it like it's hot. This is still you know relatable. This is still understandable, and you know I put the paralysis at like the paralysis at the analysis, and you know.
Oh.
Keep
sound
it
like the microphone.
It ain't over.
Just like a DJ, talk too much and not playing any music.
Listen,
you
want me to turn into all that talking and no music?
Until next time, fam, hold tap. This has been another amazing show. And, you know, just keep on keeping on.
Wow.
What?
I want to be like her when
girl,
I grow up.
Did you say what? Did you say what?
I said why? What? And I said why? And then the response. It's a call and response. All right.
No.
Not one.
Oh, going back
no.
to
truth.
We got. Let me do it again. Just like they say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. It ain't over. Keep on keeping on, cause.
Oh.
Cause
it ain't over. Oh, my goodness gracious.
All right. All right. Until next time, fam. Stay safe.
Oh,
stay
boy.
Educated. Keep your eyes peeled. Keep your ears tuned. Keep your ears to the streets. And,
yeah.
You know, we'll be back at it.
You're definitely a DJ.
Is that DJ talking again? Where'd the song go? All right. I'm going. All right. Good night.
Hotep fam.
Hotep.
No changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm proud of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a Negro. Pull a trigger, kill a nigga, he's a heat, bro. Get it back to the kids through the hell care. One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship them, don't let them deal with brothers. Give them guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brother, but we can never go nowhere. Share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how I'm supposed to be. How can the devil take a brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids, but then it changed. And that's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh, yeah.
Disgrace the racist. We under. I wonder what it takes to make this one better place. Let's erase the waste. Take the evil out the people. They'll be acting right. It's both black and white. And smoke a crack tonight. And the only time we feel is when we kill each other. It takes guilt to be real time to heal each other. And although it seems ever since we ain't ready to see a black president. It ain't a secret or concealed. The fact of penitence we fat and it's filled with black. But some things will never change. Try to show another way. What you're saying in the dope game. Now tell me what's a mother to do. Don't appeal to the brother in you. You gotta operate the easy way.
I made a cheat today.
But you made it in a sleazy way. Selling crack to the kids.
I gotta get paid.
But hey, well, that's the way it is.
Come on, come on. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh, yeah.
Making some changes. Let's change the way we eat. Let's change the way we live. And let's change the way we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we gotta do to survive. And still I see no changes. Can a brother get a little peace? It's war on the streets and a war in the Middle East. Instead of war on poverty, they got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't never did a crime I ain't have to do. But now I'm back with the back, giving it back to you. Don't let them jack you up, back you up. And pips back you up. You gotta learn to hold your own. They get jealous when they see you with your mobile phone. But tell a cop they can't touch this. I don't trust this. When they try to rush, I bust this. That's sound number two. You say it ain't cool. My mama didn't raise no fool. And as long as I stay black, I gotta stay strapped. And I never get to lay back. Cause I always gotta worry about the payback. Some buck that I roughed up way back. Coming back after all these years. Right, that.
That's the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh, yeah.
You're my brother, you're my sister.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh, yeah.
Never.
change.